I want to read, without your turning to it, just a couple of verses. But of course, I led us in reading a while ago. Jesus come to a pool called the Pool of Bethesda. And it says, in these, or near the pool, lay a great multitude of impotent or sick people, blind, halt, withered. A great multitude. Then in the next verse it says, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole. I wish every charismatic preacher in America read that verse. Great multitude were sick. One got healed. It's too bad that Oral Roberts couldn't have been there. He could have dead sure beat the percentage that Jesus had. Jesus healed one out of a great multitude. Oral Roberts had been there. He'd heal most of them, of course. And he'd have left well healed himself also. But I want you to notice that now. Listen to me. A great multitude were there. They did not get healed. They took their infirmity with them to the grave. One was healed. I want you to notice that. I hope you listen carefully. Father, I come this morning with what I believe is a message that you want spoken in this hour. Help me as I speak, and these dear ones as they hear, do something to us. Lift our spirits, encourage our hearts, and bless our souls today. Amen. Many years ago, I was pastoring in Garland, Texas. There was a Black Baptist convention of Black Baptist churches. They were being conducted nearby. Our church at the time was heavily advertised as the fastest growing church in the world. So I was asked to speak on a Sunday afternoon at this Black convention. Preceding me was a wonderful Black preacher. I don't care how good a preacher a white man is, the Black men can out-preach us. There's just no two ways about it. We preach the Bible, they preach the Bible, and then they preach some things not even in the Bible. I mean, they can make it so beautiful. And there are no preachers anywhere that can preach to me as well as Black preachers. Well, this preacher before me, he preached a sermon, and it was entitled, It Came to Pass. It Came to Pass. 34 times in the Bible, you have those words. It came to pass. You've seen it. And so he preached sort of like this. He said, you have burdens and heartaches, but bless God, they're going to come to pass. He said, you have trials and tribulations, but blessed be the Lord, they're going to come to pass. I'm not making fun of Black people. I'm telling you how he did it, so blame him, not me. But he had us all the way up on Mount Tabor. I'll guarantee you, we were on the top. As he kept on saying, you may have heartache, but they're going to come to pass. And it came to pass. It'll come to pass. A rather hefty lady, as Dr. Rice used to say, well-upholstered lady, a rather hefty Black lady stood, interrupted his sermon, which is nothing unusual in Black churches. She said, Reverend, you say it came to pass. It came to pass. It came to pass. It came to pass. She said, but mine came to stay. Mine came to stay. Now, this is my sermon this morning. It came to stay. 34 times you have the words, it came to pass. But in many cases this morning, as in the case of this dear Black lady, it came to stay. Many are going through some tough times. But there are many people here this morning who wish they could go through some tough times. For many of you, it will come to pass, but for many of you, it came to stay. In my life, I have gone through many tough times, as have you. I, even now, am going through, in some areas, some tough times. I said, I'm going through them, and they will come to pass. But there are things in my life that are burdens that will never come to pass. I wish I could go through them, but I will not do so. Why? Because they came to stay. I'm talking to folks all over this room this morning. You're not well today, but it'll come to pass. I'm talking to other people who are not well today. It came to stay. I'm talking to some people this morning who've had a heartache in life, and it will come to pass. I'm talking to other people. The heartache is incurable. It's irretrievable, and it came to stay. To some, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. There is no morning sunrise, and never will be. The darkness will never leave. You will never go through your heartache. Life's Sunday for you will never come. Death you endure knows no earthly resurrection. And this burden that you carry is no hiatus in your life that'll soon be gone. This heartache is no parenthesis in your life. There's no period at the end of the line. You find no solace, and joy cometh in the morning. For the honest truth is, listen to me now, it came to stay. He's gone to stay. Remember your first date? Remember how excited you were? How much you liked him? Remember how that life evolved into love? And you loved him? You remember the time he told you he loved you for the first time? And then there was the proposal. Remember that? How happy you were. And then the happy wedding. The planning of the wedding, the choosing of the attendants, and the flowers, and those to sing, and those to play the instruments, and there was the delightful rehearsal, and the wedding itself, and then there was the honeymoon, and then came the first child later, and then there came some discomfort one day in his body, and there was a visit to the doctor, and there were some tests, and then the bad news that he was terminally ill. And then unbelievable suffering. And then the family came to the hospital. And the one that you had dreamed of living your life with was suddenly, as was the case in a little lady who said right here a while ago, singing in the case in your life, suddenly the love of your life at a premature age was taken from you. To others, their husbands became ill, and it came to pass. But to you, it came to stay. There was a bit of morning sickness. You began to throw up every morning. And then you notice you're gaining a little bit of weight. And the doctor said, you're going to have a baby. And you started having unusual appetites. You wanted to find a peanut butter at 2 o'clock in the morning. Spread over watermelon, which was laid on a layer of pickles. And all of those discomforts, and yet it was going to come to pass, because 9 months after that first time, you knew that a new life would come, and you recall the suffering and the 5 minutes apart, and the pains closer, and the discomfort, and then the faint cry, and then there was the first time that you held that precious child, and one day his temperature rose. He was taken to the doctor. Bad news was given. Then there were days in the children's hospital. And then a trip to Babyland. And now a little bronze shoe is on the mantle of the table at your house that once one wore. To others, their babies were taken to the doctor, and the illness came to pass. But for you, it came to stay. You had your dreams. Dreams of dates, dreams of love, dreams of proposal, dreams of a wedding, dreams of a honeymoon, dreams of a little cottage, dreams of children, dreams of vacations with the family. And, there was this one fellow that you could have married, but something was, you considered it, but it never worked out. He just wasn't the right one. And here you are today, and you realize that you're going to spend your life alone, and you'll never know the I love you of a loving husband. You'll never know the cry, I love you, mommy, of a precious child, and you'll never have your little cottage and all those things. Now, other young ladies, they got 25, 30 years of age, and yet it came to pass because they married. But for you, it came to stay. Your leg will never come back. Your husband will never return. You will never give birth to a child. Your eye is gone and will be gone until the rapture. You will never hear the voice of your preacher. You're deaf. You'll never hear an I love you from your spouse. You'll never hear the church choir. You'll never hear the sound of a happy rainfall or the song of a feathered choir. You're deaf. To some, it came to pass, but to you, it came to stay. You'll never see in your present life. Your eyesight was taken or never came. You'll never see a sunset or a sunrise or a snowfall or a bouquet of roses. You'll never see a gurgling stream, a snow-capped mountain, a freshly mowed lawn, a frisky deer, the face of those you love. For others, it came to pass, but for many of you this morning in this room, it came to stay. And it'll never come to pass until your eyes feast upon the face of the Savior himself and you rise in his likeness with a glorified body. To many of you this morning, you wish it had come to pass, but your illness did not come to pass. It came to stay. Recently in my office, in 2 weeks' time, this happened. Two different young ladies came to my office. Never married, each of them pregnant. Now, their guilt will never come to pass. And their sin will never come to pass. And their memories will never come to pass. They came to stay. That same two-week period, parents came to see me, brought their son. Their son wanted to tell them something. It's only happened 3 times in my life. Their son wanted to tell them something. He looked at his brother and dad in my presence and broke the news to them for the first time that he was a homosexual. I wish you could see the tears of that couple. To them, it didn't come to pass. It came to stay. And the hurt will never leave. And the broken heart will never heal or mend. Why? It came to stay. I'm talking to people all over this room this morning. You know what I'm talking about. You've got some burdens that came and they left and you went through some tough times. Well, let me tell you something. If that's all you had to do is go through some tough times, you stand up and say, Lord of God, I went through those tough times, but there are people all over this room today. It came to stay. Same 2 week period. A teenage girl came to my office to tell me that her dad had forced sex upon her. I can't think of anything more rotten than that. I got more respect for anybody in the world than a guy that'll touch the body of his own daughter. And that young lady came to tell me that her dad, I'm talking about in a 2 week period, two young ladies pregnant, and a son telling his parents he was a homosexual, and a daughter telling her dad had forced sex upon her, and then an engaged girl coming to say that her fiancé had canceled the wedding about 3 weeks before the wedding. All that came in a two-week period. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got some news for you. It doesn't always come to pass. It often comes to stay. So if you can see a ray of light at the end of the tunnel, hang in there till it comes to pass. But if it came to stay, let me give you some instruction today. Randy, the deaf, some of the mission men, the blind, those possessed with cancer, those to whom it came to stay, let me give you some instruction. Two words. Give up. Give up. Hold it, preacher. I never heard you say anything like that before. You tell me to give up, that's exactly what I'm telling you to do. Give up. Give up. Number one, give up hope. Give up hope. I'm not talking about the blessed hope. Don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever lose sight I was in my room up in Minnesota where I was preaching this week, and I turned the television set on because there was a black preacher preaching, and I loved to hear him preach, and he had his robe. You know, even the fundamental black preachers wear their robes and a cross here and a cross here, and his name was Reverend Bishop, Archbishop Pope George Washington Andrew Jones Johnson. And boy, he was cutting loose. And he's preached on the rapture. You heard that song, "This robe of flesh I'll drop and rise." Brother, he dropped that robe and came out of it. He said, "This is the way it's going to be." And he came out of that robe. And boy, the people turned loose and came unscrewed. But I'm saying, that's always our hope. But I'm saying, if it came to stay, then give up hope. Make peace with it. It's here. The eye is not going to come back. It's gone. The leg has been severed. It's gone. You're paralyzed in a wheelchair. You're going to have to stay that way. Your husband's gone. He's married somebody else. He'll never come back. I'm saying, give up hope. Don't have a false hope. Make peace with it. Accept it. Face it. Live with it. It's your lifetime seat. Sit in it and accept it. I won't give you the whole sermon illustration. My favorite sermon I preach around the country has to do with that seat 4A on the airplane. And I'll take about 2 minutes and make it very brief. I was on the airplane flying from San Francisco to Chicago. I sat down beside the biggest crab in the history of mankind. He wouldn't even let me over. He wouldn't even move. He kept his, and he had his tray down working, and he wouldn't even move his tray, and I had to sit over there on the other side of him. He wouldn't even move his tray. I had to knee in and gouge him to get over, and then he wouldn't speak. We sat there for 4 hours. I spoke to him again and again. Never said a word. After about 30 minutes of that, I called the stewardess and said, "Ma'am, could I have another seat, please?" And she said, "I'll check and see, Mr. Howes." I was up in the first class section because, as I said before, I have some free coupons because I fly so much. I can upgrade if I'm sitting between two fat women on the airplane. And so I upgrade the first class, and she said, "I'll check and see." She came back and she said, "Mr. Howes, I'm sorry. There's no other first class seats." I said, "Ma'am, sit me back in the coach section. I don't care. Just get me a seat. I can't stand it." And I whispered to her and told her, I said, "This is a crab sitting beside me. I can't spend 4 hours with him." She comes back and she said, "I've checked the coach section now." She said, "Mr. Howes, there is not a seat vacant on this airplane." I said, "Would you put me on the wing, ma'am? Just anywhere. Out in the fuselage. Anywhere. Could I sit in the pilot's lap? I don't care where it is. Give me a place to sit." And that little stewardess said, "Mr. Howes, let me make a speech to you." Boy, I hate women preachers. I've been married to one 53 years. But wait a minute. She said, "Mr. Hiles, there is not one single seat on this airplane that's vacant. You've got 4 hours. You've got to sit there in that seat." Now, she said, "You can do one of two things. You can gripe all the way." She's preaching to me. I didn't even know the gal. She even took an offering. But she said, "Mr. Hiles, you can do one thing. You can sit there for 4 hours and complain and gripe, have a miserable trip." Or she said, "You can say, seat 4A is my seat. I've got to sit here. There's something about it that's undesirable. I don't like it, but it's not going to ruin my trip. Mr. House, you may as well accept the fact you cannot change your seat. You've got to sit there and make peace with it. And bless God, we have an invitation. I walk down the aisle of the airplane, got on my knees, and said, I'll make peace with it." I'm saying this morning, if it didn't come to pass, it came to stay. Make peace with it. Give up hope. Don't try to have false hope. Accept your seat in life. I said, give up hope. Number two, give up bitterness. Give up bitterness. Look up to heaven and say, "God is good. I can't understand it, but God is good. It may look wrong to me, but God is right. It may look unjust to me, but God is just. It may look unholy to me, but God is holy. It may be merciless to me, but God is mercy. It may be a lack of grace to me, but God is gracious. God is wise. God knows what's best. I'm saying, grab hold of Romans 8:28 and squeeze it till every drop of juice comes out of it and say, I do not like what's happened here. I wish it hadn't happened. I wish I could go through it. I'll never go through it. I'll never see the end of the tunnel. There's no light there. There's not a flicker of light there. I'll never go through it. It came not to pass. It came to stay. But I am not going to be bitter about what God has given me in life. I said, give up. Give up. If it came to stay, give up hope. If it came to stay, give up bitterness. Number three, if it came to stay, give up despair. Don't despair. Next to my heart, I carry a card. It's always in my shirt pocket, wherever I am. It has written these words. This is concerning my health. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. He shall strengthen thy heart. I'm claiming that promise since I had a heart condition. Another is Deuteronomy 32:29. Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. I claim that every day. Another is Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I keep it next to my heart every day. And there's one other little statement made by Phyllis Brooks that I have always next to my heart. Never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. Never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. If it came to pass and you're going through some tough times, shout this morning, bless God, I'm going through them. But if this morning you're here and they're never going to end, they came to stay. They came to stay. Give up hope. Give up bitterness. Give up despair. Don't quit a thing. Keep on going. It's an old illustration, one of my favorites. I was in Elkton, Maryland, preaching. Dr. John Rice and I were there together. It's been years ago. The pastor came to me and said, Dr. Howes, I want you to meet my secretary. Well, I said, sure, I'll be glad to meet her. Where is she? He takes me across the back of the auditorium back there, back to the corner, and there was a man sitting in a wheelchair. He said, Dr. Howes, I want you to meet my secretary. I reached out my hand, and he didn't reach us. He wouldn't shake my hand. I couldn't understand it. Here was this man in a wheelchair, he was a secretary, but he wouldn't shake my hand. And I said, Pastor, if I've done something wrong, if I've offended you, sir, I'm sorry. And the pastor said, you understand, the man's paralyzed. He can't move his hands. I said, your secretary, a man, is paralyzed from his neck down? Right. But he types all my letters. I said, would you tell me how he types all those letters? He said, sure. Show him. He walked over to a desk, brought a typewriter, put it in that man's lap. That man put a stick in his mouth and type just like this. And he typed. You know why? Because he wasn't going to despair. He came to stay. His paralysis came there. There's a man sitting over there, paralyzed from his shoulders down. That man works at First Baptist Church Hammond several hours a week. Why? I'll tell you why. It didn't come to pass. It came to stay. But he has not given up hope. He's given up hope. He's given up bitterness. And he's given up despair. And he's doing something useful to God, for God. I had a deacon in Texas named Bill Falstead. Bill was blind. Would you like to know what kind of profession Bill had? He was a radio and TV repairman. I've seen Bill Falstead up on top of a house fixing an antenna on top of a house. Blind, totally blind. I've seen him stick his finger in those hot wires in the back end of a radio. Couldn't believe it. Well, what did I say? I'm saying he was blind. He went soul winning by himself every week with his cane, would go up and tap on the sidewalk and tap on the door and went soul winning every week. I mean, it came to stay. Bill went to heaven the other day and he saw Jesus for the first time, but until he went to heaven, it came to stay. But Bill gave up hope. He accepted his seat.
He gave up bitterness and praised God for His goodness. And he gave up despair and said, I'll keep on going. I said, give up. If it came to stay, give up. Give up hope and accept it. Give up bitterness and trust God. Give up despair and keep on going and doing something for God. Number four, think of the good things that came to stay. The salvation that you got when you trusted Christ will never come to pass. It came to stay. The Holy Spirit that came inside your body to live the moment you said yes to Jesus Christ, He didn't come to pass. He came to stay. The place that God's preparing for you in heaven right now, He's not preparing it to come to pass. Bless God. It came to stay. And your sins have been gone to stay. Not to pass for a while. They're gone to stay. My forgiveness is here to stay. Heaven is here to stay. Holy Spirit's here to stay. His presence is here to stay. Rejoice on the good things that are here to stay. Never come to pass. Heaven shall pass away. That means the heavens and the earth shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of my Father abideth forever. A little boy. Little, short, tiny boy. Was standing at the bottom of an escalator, looking intently at the handrail. The escalator was going around and around and around. You know how they do. And the boy kept watching the handrail. And somebody came up and said, son, what are you doing? He didn't answer. He just kept watching the handrail as it kept on moving and would come back and kept on moving. And somebody said, what are you doing? Son, what are you doing? You need some help up there on this later? He looked up and said, no, sir. I'm waiting for my chewing gum to come back. It may be that as you watch this heartache, it may be that it's going to come back. It may be that it's going to end. Thank God for it. Thank God it came to pass. And for every burden through which you're traveling, thank God not only for the burden, but thank God you're traveling through it. But every person that sits in the doctor's office, for whose illness will pass, there's someone who sits in that doctor's office whose illness will stay. To every person, for every couple that sits in the pastor's study for marital counseling, whose marriage is salvaged, and the trouble comes to pass, there's somebody for whom it came to stay. You do what the boy did. Keep looking.
Keep looking for your chewing gum to return.
If it does, praise God. It's come to pass.
If it doesn't, it never comes back.
Give up hope. Accept it. Give up bitterness. Trust God. Give up despair. Keep on going. And look at what good came to stay. It came to pass. It came to pass, he said. Came to pass. Yes, he said. Your burdens came to pass.
Reverend, how about me? Mine didn't come to pass. That came to stay.
I say to that little lady, that lady, that black hefty lady, I can answer your question, ma'am. If it didn't come to pass, but it came to stay, give up.
Give up. Just give up.
Give up hope. Give up bitterness. Give up despair. And look up to God and say, think of all the things that have come to your life that will never pass away. Heaven shall pass away. The earth shall pass away. But that book will never pass away.
It came to stay. It came to stay. And the promises in it came to stay. And the hope came to stay. And the salvation came to stay.
Thank God for those things that are good. It came to stay. Would you bow your heads, please?